Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Myers, Senior Army Advisor, Air Command and Staff College, will be joining us coming up in the next segment. Harold Baker, great talk show host, great researcher, is going to be riding shotgun with us, I hope, throughout this hour if she can. God bless her for the great research she's done. We were talking about Kennedy-era executive orders that have been reauthorized and expanded, how it all ties into the shadow government, the national security dictatorship. Now it's not a shadow dictatorship or shadow government anymore. 3 years ago, the Washington Post said the shadow government is out in the open. The fourth-year anniversary of 9/11 is coming up in just 4 days. 4.5 days, and this is very, very serious. Carol, please continue. Just to recap for stations that just joined us, multiple parishes, major cities, major towns that lie in those parishes have the sheriff's departments guarding key infrastructures, the communication systems that are being sabotaged and cut by FEMA. Armed guards are having to guard the highways from FEMA. FEMA will not allow food and water through to people the entire time. They had to make things fall apart to then demonstrate how they needed even more power. This is just such an abomination. Will they get away with doing this in plain view? Please continue, Carol.
I have here the federal report on, it is phase one, issued September the 15th of 1999. This is the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century. And to show you that it is strictly bipartisan, two globalists co-chaired it. One was Warren Rudman and the other was Gary Hart, the Democrat. And so in this, there's a statement here that shows you, and you know, their objective...
By the way, I got to stop you right there. It was the Warren Hart Commission that predicted 9/11. Yeah, of course. And then so we need to use this disaster for a new world order.
Exactly.
And so go back slowly, give folks the name of that particular report by that commission.
All right, it's the U.S. Commission on National Security for the 21st Century. Supporting Research and Analysis, this is phase one, and it was co-chaired by Senator Gary Hart and Senator Warren Rudman, the Republican on that side. But there's a phrase in here, and all through this, they say, they make statements about the need to get rid of local sovereignty. And this is one of the paragraphs. Now, you have to understand this is coming from a globalist viewpoint. For some, globalization is basically good, not only because it encourages global economic growth. Have we heard that over and over? But it hasn't done much for our growth, has it?
It's killed it, no.
But anyway, it goes on to say, but because it may be a vehicle to transcend the system of state sovereignty, seem to be the font of war system that plagues humanity. So they are in the process.
Yeah, we got the CFR saying that sovereignty plagues humanity.
Yes, it's a bad thing for you to run your own government.
Carol, do me a favor, will you, because you have such an incredible mind, I mean that, you're just a great lady, will you, like, hammer out maybe a one-page synopsis article on this and email it over to tips@infowars.com so I can post it after you leave us?
Okay. It will be tomorrow before I can get it to you, though, Alex.
That's okay. I just want to get your very insightful view on paper with this, but go ahead.
Well, I will go on with some of these executive orders that were issued that went into the Federal Registry under Kennedy, executive order, in February the 16th of 1962. So you understand these are global plans that are being put in place that, you know, when you and I...
Well, I mean, I saw the 10 regions of FEMA in a 1937 New York Times article. They just didn't call it FEMA. The exact same lines, the exact same regions, Carol.
Yes, and of course, the regional government plan was set under executive order under Nixon. And
But again, and then Carter created what we know as FEMA. But I have New York Times article 37, front page, the map of the U.S. with the 10 FEMA regions. That's how old this plan is. Stay there, Carol. Ride shotgun with us. We'll cover a lot more.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today. Call toll free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, Infowars.com.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America. Get the Berkey Light, the American water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire, instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times, just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send for your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, Pennsylvania, 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, Pennsylvania, 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I'm honored to have talk show host Carol Baker riding shotgun with us, doing great reports on FEMA and its history and what it's really up to. And we, of course, now are joined by another guest, and we have his comments posted on Infowars.com right now. Lieutenant Colonel Joseph C. Myers, Senior Army Advisor, Air Command, and Staff College, and Colonel Craig Roberts sent me this information and said that it was something I should look at, and I appreciate what he's doing. This is what Colonel Roberts wrote. Something weird is going on here. Something is not right. Having worked in emergency management in the military and on the civilian side, I'm with Myers County Emergency Management in Oklahoma, and the dive team leader. I can't help but wonder why the old Rex 84 plan is not being used. And again, that's what we talked about, the congressional hearings where Rex 84 came out. This would open up the different forts and the AFB and other empty bases for refugees immediately. Fort Chaffee alone was warehousing full of bedding and the barracks, blankets, etc. The base infrastructure is intact and ready to be used. He goes on to say that it's very, very, very suspicious. Methinks there is something else at play, but what? Something here just ain't right. If this were a city that had been nuked by terrorists, where is the plan FEMA allegedly had for displacing persons? Now, before we go to Colonel Myers, I really appreciate joining us today. and Colonel Meyer studies this type of stuff and, you know, works in this area. I want to play just a minute clip again that we played the last hour from Meet the Press, where the parish president of, you know, a major you know, city laying in that parish, Jefferson parish president, comes out, Andrew Burchard, and says that FEMA is cutting the emergency lines for the police. FEMA was blocking the food and water. And literally, folks, we have like 100 reports of this. But, I mean, they're just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, there's two ways to look at it. They're greedy. They want to be top dogs. They're not going to let anybody help if they're not micromanaging it. The problem is they've never really done this before. I mean, they immediately respond to things in the past. I've got a report here where NORTHCOM is hopping mad because they're not all a bunch of, you know, evil people in NORTHCOM. They're like, let's get in there and help. We were ready a week before tracking this storm. Why aren't we allowed to help? I have that report coming up. We have, you know, the Coast Guard hopping mad in press reports being leaked that they could have done a lot. So let's go ahead and play this clip, and then we'll go to the colonel, and we'll also get comments from Carol Baker. Here it is.
Sir, they were told, like me, every single day, the cavalry's coming. On a federal level, the cavalry's coming, the cavalry's coming, the cavalry's coming. I have just begun to hear the hoofs of the cavalry. The cavalry's still not here yet, but I've begun to hear the hoofs, and we're almost a week out. Let me give you just three quick examples. We had Walmart deliver three trucks of water, trailer trucks of water. FEMA turned them back. They said we didn't need them. This was a week ago. FEMA, we had 1,000 gallons of diesel fuel on a Coast Guard vessel docked in my parish. The Coast Guard said, come get the fuel right away. When we got there with our trucks, they got a word. FEMA says, don't give you the fuel. Yesterday, FEMA comes in and cuts all of our emergency communication lines. They cut them without notice. Our sheriff, Harry Lee, goes back in, he reconnects the line, he posts armed guards on our line and says no one's getting near these lines. Sheriff Harry Lee said that if American government would have responded like Walmart has responded, we wouldn't be in this crisis. But I want to thank Governor Blanco for all she's done and all her leadership. She sent in the National Guard. I just repaired a breach on my side of the 17th Street Canal that the Secretary didn't foresee, a 300-foot breach. I just completed it yesterday with convoys of National Guard and local parish workers and levee board people. It took us 2.5 days working 24/7. I just closed it. I'm telling you, most importantly, I want to thank my public employees that have worked 24/7, that burn out, the doctors, the nurses. And I want to give you one last story, and I'll shut up and let you tell me whatever you want to tell me. The guy who runs this building I'm in, emergency management, he's responsible for everything. His mother was trapped in St. Bernard Nursing Home, and every day she called him and said, are you coming, son? Is somebody coming? And she said, yeah, Mama, somebody's coming to get you. Somebody's coming to get you on Tuesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Wednesday. Somebody's coming to get you on Thursday. Somebody's coming to get you on Friday. And she drowned Friday night. She drowned Friday night.
Mr. President.
Nobody's coming to get us. Nobody's coming to get us. The Secretary has promised. Everybody's promised. They've had press conferences. I'm sick of the press conferences. For God's sakes, shut up and send us somebody.
Just take
all right, we're going to go to our guest now. I appreciate holding. But I mean, understand, folks, that FEMA for 4 days wouldn't let food and water in. I mean, you could just drive it in trucks right up. They wouldn't let police, military. And then finally, under incredible public pressure, they began to let some in. We're going to get Craig Roberts on here. I mean, because obviously, folks, this is... Does FEMA want a bigger crisis so they get more funding? It's pretty obvious here. Again, we're honored to be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Joseph C. Myers. Colonel Myers, good to have you on with us.
Well, thank you, Alex. Appreciate the opportunity to come here and hopefully put some clarity into some of these very difficult, complex issues.
What did you think of the clip we just played?
Well, right before I get to that, Alex, I have to put out a little bit of a disclaimer here since I am an active duty military officer that, the opinions I express here are my own, so they don't necessarily reflect those of the Department of Defense or Department of the Air Force, the Air University where I work, or the Department of the Army. And as a side note, let me mention, you know, I am a Tulane University graduate. I used to live in New Orleans. I go back there every year. I think it's a great city, great people. My heart goes out to all the people suffering through the Gulf Coast, and I just hate to see this calamity play out the way it is. But now back to your question on the clip. I saw that. I saw it on Meet the Press Sunday, and it's very disheartening. I mean, you can't help but react emotionally to it. But I listened to what President Broussard said, and I was a little bit struck by something he said. That last part there where he broke down, he was describing that he was in the office of the Jefferson Parish Emergency Management Agency, and a member of that agency who runs the place, I think he said, runs the place. His own mother was in a nursing home. I think he said St. Bernard Parish, and I'm not sure if that's in Jefferson or St. Bernard Parish Nursing Home in that particular parish, but he said his own mother called every day wanting to know if she was going to get rescued and drowned on the fourth day. And so here you have an emergency manager whose mother's in a nursing home that was not evacuated in front of a Category 5 hurricane, when everybody has known for generations that a hurricane of that size had the potential to create catastrophic damage throughout
all. They evacuated three-quarters of the city last year, Colonel. But they didn't this year. Why?
That is a very good question. I cannot understand that. We know that an evacuation order, a voluntary evacuation order, and if you go to the New Orleans city information site and you look at their emergency preparedness plan, under even a Category 3 hurricane, they're supposed to do precautionary evacuation. And then they describe what a Category 4 and 5 means in terms of potential damage and destruction.
But if I could digress for a second, why it shows that the locals were not in control. FEMA wouldn't let them do anything. Because, I mean, he's the head of it, and he can't go save his mother. Frankly, folks, if my mother was calling me for help, anybody that got in my way would be pushing up daisies.
Well, I would agree if anybody got in their way. But let's understand, we're a federal republic. The local and state officials have the responsibility to plan and prepare to manage crisis incidents in their cities. That's what they're elected for.
But FEMA directs, I mean, you're in emergency management and thing. I mean, you've done research on it, but, I mean, FEMA sits there and sends in the dollars, and you basically follow their horn.
FEMA coordinates and supports federal agency relief efforts. That is done in cooperation and coordination with the state emergency managers and state leadership.
But that's not what the state leadership...
priorities and... Say again?
But that's not what the state leadership's saying. I mean, I've got... literally 50 reports here in front of me where they're saying they were barred. I mean, I got police chiefs saying they were barred from bringing food to people.
Well, I've heard those stories, and I can't account for that. That's something that you'd have to address either directly to the state or directly to FEMA. I can't negotiate.
I was talking to you during the break, Colonel, and I mean, you were talking about the same thing I got in other reports here, that the Army was ready to go a week before. And that you can account for the Army not being called in for 4 or 5 days.
Well, we'll talk about that after the break, then.
Yeah, well, I'd like to.
Okay.
You know a break's coming up. Boy, you've got to... let me bring in Carol Baker. Carol, we're about to break, and I want to get the Colonel, who's kind enough to spend time with us, to comment on what we just talked about, the question I just asked. But do you have any questions for him after the break, Carol?
Well, why are they continuing on now that we know? I mean, they saw those people. Michael Brown tried to deny that he knew that those people were standing as they'd been herded in like animals to the Superdome with no water, no food. I mean, he knew they were there and tried to deny it and then got caught in it in a day or so after that. You know, he had to admit, yeah, they were there. Why did they not drop water in? We have helicopters. We can drop water and food into those people, which they finally did 4 or 5 days later. Come on.
All right, well, we'll get an answer to that from the Colonel on the other side and find out exactly what his take on it. We appreciate you, Carol, and, of course, Colonel Myers. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are your medicine cabinets full of a variety of different medicines and creams for illness and pain? Now the alternative is drinking water. Yes, I said drinking water, but not just any water. You need electrolyzed, oxidized water, or EO from RPA Biotech. Drinking EO water has been noted for its ability to flush toxins, attract and neutralize free radicals, enhance the delivery of nutrients, and most importantly, supports the immune system. RPA Biotech's personal care products are specially formulated to kill bacteria, virus, fungus, and spores. They are also safe and effective for topical treatments of acne, athlete's foot, eczema, psoriasis, burns, skin rashes, and more. Use EO orally to treat sore throats, canker sores, and inflamed and bleeding gums. Try any of RPA Biotech's electrolyzed oxidizing water solutions for a full 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Visit rpa-biotech.com. For more information or ordering, call 1-866-884-9104. That's 1-866-884-9104.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know there's an assault upon America's freedom of religion by the United Nations Genocide Convention Treaty? The laws are called hate crime laws. These laws will eventually shut down Christianity in America by accusing Christians of hate crimes. These laws are already being used in Canada, Britain, Australia, and Sweden against Christians for reading certain Bible passages. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
If the levee breaks, I'll have no place to stay. Yeah, I have to move away. Boy, what a interesting lyrics in that song. So sad what's happened. By the way, Steve Watson has done several detailed reports on PrisonPlanet.com about what's really happening out there. Going back to the colonel, and again, we've got Carol Baker riding shotgun with us, and I hope she'll stay with us. Colonel, are you familiar with what's on Fox News and CNN, that armed parish sheriff's deputies are having to guard police communications so FEMA won't, quote, cut them? But we now have this from three separate parishes. Were you aware of that?
Well, I've heard something about that. So, yeah, I've seen it on the news. But, again,
This is Twilight Zone. I mean, this is Twilight Zone.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. It's obviously, it's important when you're doing disaster relief that you have a synchronization of effort, that we're not, you know, obviously not tripping over each other or doing one thing that's interfering with another thing that needs to be done. So that's why it's important to have clear communications and good channels and relationships and very solid coordination between all the players that have to work at this.
Well, the report we're getting is that FEMA just literally moves in and sits on their hind ends and then orders everybody else to stand around. But, I mean, I mean, I'll shut up, Colonel. Let's just go back to that last question I asked you before the break.
Well, your question was, well, and I think all of America was wondering, you know, why did it take so long to get military forces into the disaster zone? Now, obviously, I'm not going to speak for the JTF commander, Lieutenant General Honore, but, you know, obviously, even the President of the United States said that, you know, the response was unacceptable. So what I think that indicates is that we may have some systemic problems in terms of organizing, you know, our Department of Defense resources, our active duty forces, and how we have our guard forces, the National Guard, which belongs to the state, under the command of the state governors, how they are integrated and prepared to respond to major national disasters like this.
But we've had other hurricane relief go off like clockwork.
Well, we have. In fact, you know, I helped my own in-laws evacuate from Hurricane Ivan just last year and went back down. I was one of the first persons back on Fort Morgan. And I was extremely impressed by the level of efficiency and coordination. I mean, you had FEMA there, you had the insurance companies, you had power companies, National Guard.
But the military was getting ready.
Groups.
But the military, I mean, NORTHCOM, I've even got articles here where NORTHCOM is saying they were ready. Everything was set up a week before. You even said that during a break when I was talking to you. And then no one ever called them. You know what? This stinks to high heaven. I agree with Colonel Roberts.
Well, what I know is that, you know, FEMA alerts Department of Defense that they're going to need support for disaster response. I know that NORTHCOM execute orders were cut as early as the Friday before landfall, the 26th of August. I have people that work in the joint, you know, contacts and colleagues that work at the joint staff or work with the Air Force's Air Mobility Command. And all the wheels of the Department of Defense were moving. But to position active duty forces into an area takes a certain amount of time for deployment. Now, within the state, the governor has command and control of her own National Guard. Now, I don't know what the status of the Guard was during that week. Lieutenant General Honore commands and controls active duty forces, and he commands and controls those National Guard forces.
But wasn't the majority of the Louisiana Guard deployed in Iraq or Germany?
Well, a good part of the Guard is deployed. But, you know, they have an adjutant general. The adjutant general is the commander of the Guard. He works and reports to the governor. Now, they have Guard forces, obviously, are constituted to support principally, missions in support to their state civil authority.
Well, you know, this Bush says it was unacceptable. It's unacceptable that on Tuesday he was still out at parties playing the guitar. And it's unacceptable that on Thursday, Condoleezza Rice had to be booed, shamed out of a play in New York City. She was watching a play. And I know you can't talk about him because you're, a commissioned officer there in the military. But, I mean, this...
I wonder, Alex, if the colonel is familiar with the Cairo United Nations meeting that was held in Cairo in 94 on depopulation and population control.
Well, stay there, Carol. Let's have you ask some questions to the colonel, who I really appreciate taking time out to join us on the other side. I want to go over some of his recommendations of how to handle things like this. But this stinks to high heaven. Everybody knows it.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using the Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
The 5th Annual Seniors Expo is coming to Mystic Lake Casino Hotel September 19th and 20th. Door prizes, free drawings, and nonstop fun. Featuring the Ms. Minnesota Senior Pageant, Dr. Dale Anderson, who prescribes laughter for health, the Plymouth Playhouse Church Basement Ladies, the Silver Sneakers, and more. Learn all about the new Medicare prescription plan from the Social Security Administration. See a fashion show. Have fun with the Bees and Mariner and the Magic Man. There's something new every hour. All this, plus hundreds of products, drawings, and fantastic giveaways. The 5th Annual Seniors Expo celebrates all that's good about getting older. It's all happening at Mystic Lake Casino Hotel, September 19th and 20th. For discount tickets, visit 101expos.com or call 612-798-7256. Sponsored in part by Mystic Lake Casino Hotel, KSTC, KSTP, Medica, and Ebenezer. Save the date, September 19th and 20th at Mystic Lake.
Been holding for a long time, and coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, we will open the phones up. The toll-free number to join us on air is 1-800-259-9231. We got an hour and 26 minutes left, so plenty of time to go over all this news. To the incredible headline here, police, New Orleans completely destroyed. They're telling people leave. It basically won't be habitable for years. Some people say years, some say 4 months. I tend to think it's more towards 2 years than 4 months. And I've got to correct something. I had read an MSNBC article saying that the city of New Orleans was on an average of 2 feet under sea level. I was on the Army Corps of Engineers website yesterday, and they said it, the average is 20 feet below sea level. Unbelievable. And what the feds can squarely be blamed for is taking the emergency funding and slashing it down to almost nothing. And this is confirmed. I mean, not stuff after the fact. We have articles and documents and National Guard and Army Corps of Engineers statements going back 3, 4, 5 years ago. Clinton cut it. Bush cut it even more. And if the feds are going to be doing anything, you know, if they want to federalize an area and say they control those waterways, they better fix those 1940s and 50s and 60s era dikes. So very, very serious. And we've got, of course, Carol Baker riding shotgun with us. She brought up the key point that there are actually sheriff's departments with guns I'm going to play newscast saying it, guarding police communications so FEMA doesn't cut it. And, I mean, literally, folks, I've got report after report we've covered in the last week where police, rescuers, people, and even branches of the U.S. military, the Coast Guard, who are go-getters, who actually, you know, are used to engaging in search and rescue. I mean, this, I mean, you know, one of the most active and highly trained forces because they're on the job all the time. The Coast Guard's been held back by FEMA. FEMA, a bunch of out-of-control bureaucrats who have read the executive orders. All they care about is controlling our society and being a bunch of little continuity of government martial law puppets. And that's not my opinion. I have the congressional hearings on it. And we had Paul Craig Roberts on yesterday, sounding more radical than I, saying this is martial law takeover. You know, letting this get out of control. I mean, the colonel may disagree with that, but he's got some recommendations here that I know somebody I respect says they're good recommendations. That's Colonel Roberts. We'll get on in the next few days. But I want to hear you bring up some questions, Carol Baker, for the colonel. You know, cover some other angles than I've been covering. Carol, go ahead.
I think there's a number of things here at play, Alex. You know, we just had passed the Supreme Court decision on the Kelo, New London, Connecticut ruling, whereby it allows for private property to be taken and sold to other private entities for commercialization or whatever. But in some cases there, and I went to the state hearings here 2 weeks ago and heard the lawyer from the University of Arkansas, Little Rock, describing these various cases, and it was in most cases to increase tax base. And so when you put that thought into play in what's going on in New Orleans, you also may see another thing going on behind the scenes.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not some city planner, but they can fix those dikes. They can, in a
sure.
few months, they can pump that sucker out, and they can just let the people back in who own homes and to fix them themselves, give them the money. That city could be up, you know, not perfect, but in 6 months it could be back. You're never going to fix it by not letting people back in. They've got the energy to fix it. And I mean, Colonel, if FEMA just runs this and decides who can have a home and who can't, yeah, what about the aftermath now? I mean, this city may never get rebuilt if they don't start, you know, really coming up with a plan to fix it. I mean, I know the rescue is still ongoing, but your comments on what she's saying.
Well, in terms of the recovery, obviously it's going to be long-term. Now, I don't know that FEMA makes the decision of who's going to own a home or not. Certainly the insurance companies will come in if people have insurance. That's another issue.
Well, FEMA has the executive orders, so they can do whatever they want.
Well, they can fund and help backfill resources for new home construction. Now, a lot of those homes, I'm sure, in that flooded area are going to have to be demolished. They're not going to be recoverable. Now, one thing we got to keep in mind, too, you know, in looking at the aerial imagery, the satellite imagery by the Weather Service, you know, I lived in Kenner, and Kenner is pretty much dry. That's a little bit west of New Orleans, where the airport is. French Quarter's pretty much dry. Now, that's one of the main tourism spots. It's this downtown area, the Ward 9 area, and up by, in those areas up closer
80%
to these lakes
of the city
that are just underwater.
80% of the city's deluge. That's what the press says. Is that accurate?
Well, in terms of New Orleans, but you have New Orleans and you have Metairie and you have Kenner. Now, generally speaking, everybody, when you say New Orleans, you tend to roll all that together.
Yeah,
but there
like
are parts
Dallas,
of Metairie
Fort Worth
that are underwater and parts that aren't.
Dallas-Fort Worth is just Dallas, yeah.
Right, absolutely. That's the point I'm trying to make. But yeah, I mean, the recovery is going to take a long time. Now the question is, you know, do we want to improve the levee system there so it can withstand a Category 4 or 5 hurricane? Well, that's a decision that's not just made at the federal level. State and local got to decide that. In order to do that, I'm sure private properties are going to have to be, you know, taken under eminent domain. I'm not sure how you can take, because in many cases the levee system is only a single channel. It's not a levee system in depth that has, you know, kind of like backup, so if you get a breach in one, it doesn't flood the whole city.
Well, I mean, the Dutch
there's
do
some
it.
There's social questions there too about.
Well, the Dutch do it. The Dutch do it like a ship with different you know, different containment units or different sections.
And
so if one floods, they... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying you're right. It's, they have like a defense in depth. So you don't have one containment facility break, and then it just floods everything. It's compartmented. I was just in Amsterdam just a year ago, actually, so I've seen it.
So, again, it's just like a ship that has a different bulkheads.
Right. But in order to do that, if you're going to redesign or add to the levee systems, obviously that's going to impact in already established urban areas. And so those are political and social questions as much as, you know, practical matters of safety. Because obviously, you know, there's private property in there.
Well, I've seen the plans they shelled that were really very inexpensive, and it's just basically a 12-foot wall all the way around the city.
Well, that may be one thing. I mean, there's other aspects of this as well. I mean, you know, the barrier islands and Grand Isle and the Delta region are part of your natural barriers to the ocean. And we're going to have to look at recovering a lot of that delta that's been eroding away over the years.
Well, Colonel, you know, we're hearing from the CFR and other people that we've got to give total control of the feds now, federalize everything, massively inflate the size of FEMA. I mean, only in our country you screw up really bad, then you get more funds. That actually encourages screw-ups. What do you, from studying this, because, I mean, I notice you've got some recommendations you put out, what do you think should be done?
Well, let me kind of focus on the military response. That's really my area of expertise. I did go to West Point. I know something about engineering, but I'm not going to speak for the Corps of Engineers on the levee system down there. But in terms of the Department of Defense role, I think our standard should be that when we have a disaster such as this, as soon as it lifts, we should have military boots on the ground as well as police within 12 hours. Within 12 hours, not sooner. Now, in order to do that, it's going to require some reorganization of our active duty assets. We're going to have to begin to put on an alert status, a force robust enough that can deploy with elements on an 18-hour deployment sequence with the requisite medical and other pre-positioned relief supplies that they can get in early. On the other hand, again, let's go back to the National Guard that belongs to the governor. National Guard is there to respond to state emergencies. They are part of the first responders and incident responders for the state. Now, where you have guards that have to do a lot of missions, including federal missions, where they've been activated and sent off to fight the war on terror, whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq, you know, the state adjutant general has to report his capacity to perform all the missions he's been given to both the governor and to the Department of Defense, you know, up and through the National Guard Bureau. And where guard forces may not be able to fully fulfill because of readiness or the impacts of current deployment and operations, they have to make that known. So what we have, though, is somewhat of an ad hoc system where various states have been coming together and forming, I guess what they call, Emergency Management Assistance Compact. That's what they're called, where states agree to help one another if they need support. But this involves funding. So what I'm saying is that this system can't be ad hoc. We've got to have, with the National Guard, a nationwide disaster response system where we have guard forces that are placed on alert to respond to other disasters that may be around the country, and that those.
But isn't that
the cost of that to be obviously recovered?
But isn't that exactly
from FEMA?
Isn't that exactly what NORTHCOM is being set up to do? Is to create kind of this roving military command and force for the United States. But I'll tell you, Colonel, I've been to the urban warfare drills all over the nation with the Marines and the Army, and they're not practicing handing out medicine and blankets and rescuing people, which they could have done within 3 days and stopped the riots. They're day one practicing, interrogating people, putting people into camps. I mean, I've been there. I've got footage of the Marines training to confiscate guns during emergencies, which isn't going to do a thing.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure what particular exercises you saw, if they were counterterrorism exercises or disaster response.
Well, they tell the press it's disaster response, and then when you go to an urban warrior, you know, drill, say in 1999 in Oakland, it's anti. Look, I got footage.
Well, part of the Marines' urban warrior training exercises are designed to give the Marines training in urban combat, not for here necessarily in the United States.
I know, Colonel, listen.
Overseas.
I'll get your email address and I'll send this to you. 3 weeks ago, I got the newscast out of Roanoke, Virginia, with the regular Army, the Guard, the State Guard, the citizens as role players, and they call us rebels. And the troops practice fighting with the evil American rebels. Okay, so my whole point is, but I don't know what area. I mean, you know, specifically, if your area of the military hadn't brought you into contact with this, but believe me, I've been in contact with it. I mean, I've got the local Roanoke newscast where they are calling us rebels and practicing fighting the rebels. Why is the military spending so much time practicing fighting with rebels? I mean, the Army Times came out over the weekend and said they started combat operations in New Orleans against the insurgency. Did you see that?
Well, yes, I did see the article and I read it. And now I don't know if that's I don't think that's active duty forces. You understand that the State National Guard titled to conduct law enforcement operations.
Yeah, but that's not like insurgency. I mean, you're talking about a couple hundred criminals running around.
Well, I mean, no, it's not an insurgency, but I mean, I would call them, you know, armed anarchists at least, and certainly they're contributing to some of the anarchy that's going down.
Oh, I totally agree, but I mean, what I'm trying to say, Colonel, is I've studied this one area I've studied, and the FEMA force structure and Rex 84 and all of it is basically about dominating populations, and they've used disaster relief as the cover for this. I've seen so many emergency managers. I've interviewed them. Thomas Sanchez down in Kingsville, Texas, he's been on years ago talking about how, you know, he was brought into these semi-classified briefings. You know, some of it was classified, some wasn't, under PDD 25. And he's like, well, I thought we're here for hurricanes. Well, that's the cover. This is really about armed insurrection. I don't know. It's just...
I mean, obviously, if the United States suffered, you know, nationwide catastrophic damage by, you know, nuclear war or something, I mean, you're going to have a lot of chaos. Now, I'm not sure, you know, what the best way to work through
that. I predict we'll have the military.
My expertise, but
I predict we'll have the military and police chiefs, some bad ones, mainly good, but some bad ones will make themselves warlords over regions.
Colonel,
that's happened throughout history. I mean, even our founding fathers, even our revolutionary troops engaged in some looting and rioting. I mean, nothing compared to the British. I mean, let's face it.
You always have criminal misconduct. But I wanted to get back to a point you were talking about, the role of NORTHCOM in this. And NORTHCOM is responsible and is charged with the Homeland Defense mission and developing the strategies to deal with these various sets of contingencies, whether it's terrorism or nuclear terrorism or these disasters. There was a RAND report that came out last November that says that we're going to be lagging in terms of our response until NORTHCOM comes up with a completed strategy. And I really don't know if they complete that strategy or not. And if anybody's interested, it'd probably be better to contact NORTHCOM directly.
Well, I know when Eberhardt was there a year ago, we got a strategy in the L.A. Times. He said, "Get rid of Posse Comitatus and basically have troops running your life," and that in America.
Have you heard of the State Department document 7277, Colonel, which turns, it is the evolution or turning over of our military to under the power of the United Nations, and there was a statement made by Henry Kissinger at Evian, France, at a Bilderberger meeting some almost 20 years ago, and he said, if today UN troops were to enter the city of Los Angeles, the citizens of America would be outraged. But given the right set of circumstances and crises, they will welcome them with open arms.
Well, I mean, that's Mr. Kissinger's opinion. I can't speak to it. I'm not familiar with the particular quote.
And he also made the Project 200 under Nixon about population control, and that's been reported by Dr. Stan Monteith.
Oh, that's declassified. I have that. That's from the National Security Archive. That's on my website.
Yeah, it is about command and control.
Well,
obviously, you know, in any type of disaster, if you have a national calamity, I mean, you're going to have, you know, some form of law and order and stability.
No, the point is, Colonel, is that time and time again, these planners, these politicians, talk about using crises for their own aims.
And I have to say, believe it or not, they are manipulated. There's too much documentation on it.
That's why we have an elected government. We have congressional oversight. We have a separation of powers between our government to ensure that you know, no secret or hidden entities are conspiring against the rights, civil liberties of the American people.
But under the Homeland Security bureaucracy and the head of all intelligence, Negroponte, Colonel, under this whole system, that's being eroded. I mean, the Washington Post is reporting on shadow governments and. Well, we'll stay there, sir. One more segment. We'll come back and take a few calls. We'll get to your calls, folks, after this quick break. We really appreciate the Colonel joining us. Stay with us.
There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the document of truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139 or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The Berkey Light is your premier source for purified water. It's portable and requires no water pressure, so you can enjoy healthy drinking water, whether it's during normal times or hostile environments like a local or national emergency. That's because it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is unique because it removes pathogenic bacteria, cyst parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul taste and odors like the rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it extracts nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light's rechargeable LED lighting system is so bright it can be used as a reading light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, you can read the recommendations that Colonel Myers has made up on InfoWars.com. We're going to get Colonel Roberts on to talk about this in the next few days. But let's take a call or two for both of our guests, Carol Baker and, of course, Colonel Myers. Robert in Denver, Colorado, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks so much for taking my call, Alex. I appreciate that. Great show, great guest as always. I was watching ABC coverage of the hurricane on Friday, and they broached the subject I didn't really think about, but I wanted to bounce off you and see what you think. There was something suggesting, that the fact that New Orleans is primarily black population is one reason why there was a slow response from the federal government. Any opinion on that?
I think that's ridiculous. I mean, that black rapper got up on TV, and really what he does is he makes Bush look good. That is so stupid that now people that criticize Bush's response are associated with that. Oh, there's a bunch of black people in New Orleans, so let's do a bad job. Colonel, do you have any comments on that?
No, other than to say that that's not contributing to our understanding of our national deficiencies and where we need to make improvements so this doesn't happen again.
That's right.
I mean, Jesse Jackson makes him so, he's just such a fool. I mean, he's got so many things he could criticize, too, that are real and legitimate. And I saw Larry King asking, well, is it because they're black? Well, I think to a certain degree it is. No, it's not. I mean, that is just ridiculous. Again, folks, but you know what? Jesse Jackson serves a purpose. Now he's going to balkanize a bunch of the population to follow what the government says no matter what because they don't want to be in Jesse Jackson's camp.
Well, the truth of the matter is, Alex, the population is 68% black. I mean, that's a fact. But there's whites and blacks. And I mean, you saw elderly ladies laying on the concrete up there, infirm people. There were red, yellow, and black and white. All
well, I think bottom line, the government screwed up from top to bottom, and now they'll get a bunch of power and control out of it. FEMA will, Robert, anything else? Real quick.
Yeah, real quick. They've also been calling a lot of people refugees, and I'm a little confused about that. Any comment on that?
Well, that's because, a refugee is a different definition than the old definition. That means they're, like, been driven out. They're gone. Basically semi-permanent. Colonel, do you agree with that statement?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say it's probably better to call them displaced persons. That's a more generic term that just reflects their particular condition until it can be rectified.
All right, let's go ahead and talk to... Is Scott in Texas up next? Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, I think if we could just discard for the moment, Mr. Broussard's testimony, we don't really need that to prove the fact that there is a shadow government working and has been working for years in this country, and through the various coup d'etats, through the JFK assassination, all the way to the Reagan attempted assassination, to 9/11, all the way down the line. And, you know, we know these people, and we know it's the same organization that's been operating for years, and we know that they have no conscience. That it's not a race thing. It's really a human race thing. They want to reduce the population. They've said it many times, if you've documented in the past, and they're just, it's just another operation of theirs. And so it's really hard to put, just can't really put it past them, first of all, and we know that it's all possible.
All right.
So anyway, I just wanted to say too, Alex, that...
I'll tell you what, stay there. Colonel, I want to thank you, Joseph C. Myers, for joining us.
My pleasure.
And I hope to get you to check in with us again in the future as things develop, and we really appreciate your service to our country.
Glad to. Thank you, Alex.
Goodbye. Take care. All right, third hour. Carol, stay there if you can. We'll be right back.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.